Good morning, Bishop T.D. Jakes. How are you? I have Bishop T.D. Jakes on the phone here, who has authored more than 40 books. He's the number one New York Times best-selling author, CEO of TDJ Enterprises, and his television ministry program, The Potter's Touch, is watched by 3.3 million viewers every week, producing Grammy Award-winning music, hit films such as Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven, and Jumping the Broom. And now you have a new book, Build Your Vision from the Ground Up. The book is called Soar, and it's about building your vision from the ground up. So let's talk about how to soar this morning. Let's talk about it.
Yes, let's do it.
And
well, I wrote the book because I really wanted to show people how to build their vision, how to get it up off the ground. So many people are waiting on things to happen that are not going to happen. They want to be airborne before they are on the ground. And it's a very practical, pragmatic look at how to build a vision, how to build the team, how to build yourself, how to access capital so that you can get your vision going and make it become a reality.
Yes, and I like one of the chapters you start, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. There's so many people out there that...
You know, that's a very powerful thing to realize because we get a lot of hope, we get a lot of optimism, we get a lot of motivation, but we don't get enough information.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation without information leads to frustration.
Yes.
And so I tried to really add the information to the motivation and the inspiration that we hear from time to time, and so that we can actually move from being excited about it to implementing the vision that we have for our lives, for our children, for our careers.
And you're a pastor of a church in Texas, mega church in Texas. You have 3.3 million viewers watching you. At some point, you started on the runway, like you're talking about. The book is talking about having a vision to soar. So you make a lot of connections with travel and flight, right? At one point, you were on...
Yeah, absolutely right. I started out very small. As a pastor, I started out very small in the hills of West Virginia with about 7 members and grew from there to now in Dallas over 30,000. As an entrepreneur, I started out just doing plays on the circuit and ended up doing films with Sony Pictures. So both on the for-profit and the not-for-profit side, I have a strategy that I want to share, people that I've met along the way that enhance me, and I've tried to put as much of it in the book as I could to help people to get their vision up off the ground, whatever that vision may be.
Yes, and, you know, I love the book so far. You know, we all have visions out there, and, you know, you say too often we remain in jobs that stifle our souls and leave us on the runway of opportunity with the engine of our deepest passion stalled, watching others make their personal vision a reality. Let's talk about that. You don't have to be stalled on the runway, right?
No, you don't have to be stalled on the runway, and it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be where you just quit your job and run out there wildly trying to do a business. You can gradually move from doing something on your spare time as a hobby and growing it to a level that you've got a base to step off of your job onto. But one of the things that I'm really trying to, above everything else, to share with people is that you have to be the CEO of you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let your boss do it. You can't let your kids do it, your spouse do it. You have to begin to build the kinds of life that reflect who you are as an individual, that's true to who you are as an individual, and launch out from there. Never lose sight of your own brand while you are hired to build somebody else's.
How do you, you know, there's obviously, you're a pastor. How do people, when you have a vision, it's kind of important to line it up with what God's vision is for you too, right? Would you say?
Well, to me, that's something that's a very strong prerequisite to get done. It's not just envying other people and making their vision your vision. This
right.
has to be true to your core. My previous book called Instinct really dealt with digging down to who you really are as a person, how God has equipped you with certain gifts and talents that are clues toward your destiny, and how to get them unlocked and get them released so that you can go into your field of expertise. And I really tried to do it in broad strokes. This is not a deeply religious book because mm-hmm. the principles are transferable. They will work whether you are a producer, like I am with film, or a pastor, or whether you are opening up a beauty shop, or whether you are a physician trying to open up an office for a medical facility. There are certain things that are just true about business, regardless to what type of business it is.
So I like that. So, you know, Greenwich, Connecticut listeners, if you're in your cars this morning and you're listening to Bishop T.D. Jakes talk about this new book, Soar, you can start soaring at any point in your life. You can start soaring even after, you know, you've had your regular career, right? You can start a new career. And
yes, I think that is very true. I was talking to Bob Schaefer one day at a dinner party in Washington, D.C., the famous journalist, and he was telling me everything major that happened in his life happened after 65.
Wow, that's amazing.
When you look at Harlan Sanders, he built KFC after 65. So whether you are in the season that you referred to, the fall of your life, or whether you're a millennial who's trying to figure out what you want to do with a degree and you're sitting at home on the couch trying to figure out how you could have a degree and not have a job, you may have to hire yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, part of that vision, I know you have a, you talk about finding the people around you that can support you in your vision. That seems, that can really help, right?
Yes, because I think that what a lot of people don't realize, they focus on getting the capital, the financial resources. But human resources are probably more difficult to come by than financial resources. Building a team of people around you, even if it's just by association, that really support where you're trying to go. I should be able to look at who you're around and tell where you're trying to go.
Yes, and you know, maybe if you're not around the people that you should be around, you might need to find a new group of people, right? I mean, that's
absolutely
also
right. I talk about it in the book. It is not where you're trying to go that is the problem. It's what are you willing to leave behind in order to get there. And all of us have to do some pruning in our lives from time to time. It doesn't mean that the people are bad. It just means that they might not be congruent and harmonious with what you're trying to do in your life. It's really about focus, not being distracted by the peripheral, the critics, the distractors, the people, not just filling your life with people who need you,
right,
but also adding to your life people who feed.
Yes, and knowing the people that feed you and the people that need you, being having wisdom to know that. You know, my husband is one of those people. My husband's 58. He started building homes in his 50s on top of his other business. So, you know, and adopting children. So, you know, we have a family and late 50s. I'm in my 40s. And, you know, we had a vision to have children and here we are. And we're dreaming our dream.
It's an exciting thing to do. We have to rethink how we feel about age.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are packing it in at a time because you just feel like everybody else is doing it. I'm supposed to. It's fine to those who want to pack up and go sit on a farm somewhere. But to the rest of us who still have energy and passion and dreams, don't let your birthday kill out your destiny. You can still be at any age and still be fruitful, still be productive, and still have something that gets you out of the bed in the morning. I think it keeps you healthy to have something to do, something that challenges you, that keeps your brain going, that keeps you reading and thinking, and even wrestling with problems. It's better than just sitting idle for years watching the world pass you by.
And you can have more than one vision. You know, most of the people that I know that are entrepreneurials and have the spirit, they have more than one business going on, right? Don't you find that?
Very important that you don't get compartmentalized. I mean, I have never done that. Just because I was a pastor didn't mean that I didn't deal with real estate, didn't mean that I didn't do books or movies or films. You have to be true to who you are as a person, mm-hmm. not who you are by some title or some position that people met you in. Be true to yourself and true to your core and true to what really excites you to do and to go forward and do that. If you play your life by other people's manuscript, you'll always be off key. You have to really, really be true to yourself.
And you have the power to soar at any point in your life. And look at you. You started 7 people in a church, and now you have 3.3 million followers, you know, viewers every week on the Potter's Touch. And I'm one of those people.
I couldn't have imagined it in my wildest dreams when I started that I would have that kind of impact. And that's what gets me excited, because there are people who are listening at us right now who have no idea how much is in you. You know something is in you, but you don't know how much is in you until you actually get out there and begin to do it. The book is based on the Wright brothers and how these brothers with substandard education, very little financial support, dreamed of building an airplane, started building the plane in a bicycle shop. They didn't even have a manufacturing place. So many people are stalled because they don't have what they need. But you haven't used what you have. Use what you have until you get what you need.
How do you think people know their inner vision? What do you recommend that they do? Do they sit and meditate? Do they talk to their friends? Are there any good strategies for somebody that might be, you know?
I think it's all of the above. I think you have to do some introspection, some quiet time, still the noise, some thinking time. We don't get time to think anymore. We're so bombarded with images, and we've got so many other voices in our head that we can't hear our own. So quieting all of those voices is important, but also having some good people around you who can tell you what you do that is most effective. Because sometimes we're doing 100 things, but only 20 of them are the things that are making our life spin around. We need to dump the 80 and focus on the 20 till the 20 becomes 100% of your life. And we talk about that sort of thing. If you don't do that, you're going to be spinning your wheels. And the thing that you can't afford to lose even more than anything else is time. Mm-hmm. I can give you some money. You can give me some money. But neither one of us can give each other not even 30 minutes more life, not one more day, more time. So time is your most precious resource.
So listeners sitting out there, you have to go out and get this book, Soar. And I've been watching you for years and years, and I love putting YouTube on and watching your messages while I work out, you know, because nothing like watching you while you're on the treadmill, because you're so inspiring. You know, that nothing is impossible, right, out there. Listeners, please go out and get the book. You know, it says you don't have to be an entrepreneur to think like one and take flight with your dreams, right? And Bishop T.D. Jakes, you have met all your dreams, and I'm sure you have more. You probably have more vision out there, right?
You know, my big thing now is my destiny is to help you reach yours, and I really get a lot of fulfillment out of mentoring other people, encouraging other people, my children, other people's children, anybody I can get around. I'm very much a you-can-do-it sort of person, and I get a lot of fulfillment out of coaching people at this point. It's not so much about being in the ring for me. It's about being over in the corner telling somebody, get back out there again and aim. You can hit it if you try.
You can hit it. And I'm so thankful that you were able to come on the Healthy Hillary Show in Greenwich, Connecticut to talk to people. You know, assembling your dream team. I love this. The flight crew. You talk about having a flight crew. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Get out there and find your dream team, right?
Yes. You've got to find them, and you don't always have to hire them. A lot of people don't build their team because they don't have money. You just want to be in the circle, in the area where people are doing what you're doing. They're going the way you're going. A lot of us are spending all of our energy trying to drag people into something that they don't even want.
Yes.
Get around people who want what you want, who value what you value, and your life will stop feeling that tug. It's almost like you're driving the car in the wrong shift. You're trying to pull people who don't want to go. They're not for you. They may like you, but they're not really for you to go on the journey because they don't have the same directional pull that you have.
Right, and you can keep them in your lives, but you don't have to have them as part of your core dream team, right? Your flight crew.
Exactly. If you don't get them in the right perspective, you're going to fall into the gravitational pull of pleasing people rather than fulfilling purpose.
Yes, and I'm excited to finish this book and fulfill the dreams that I have in my life. And it was so awesome having you on the Healthy Hillary Show in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Thank you. Okay. Have a good one.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
And today I have Sound Nutrition, Francine Blinton, clinical nutritionist. You're our regular nutritionist because, you know, if you're going to have a nutritionist, you want Francine.
Thank you.
The normal nutritionist.
Thank
as
you.
Your friend calls you, right?
As opposed to abnormal.
Right. So, and normal is everything in moderation, right?
Well not everything.
Not everything.
Yeah. But yeah. I find that to demonize one food is doesn't really serve anybody. I really look at dietary patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So not just, should we cut out the one thing, the diet soda, or should I be eating, pick a trendy food right now?
Well, I was going to ask you, is there a healthy way, and I know you're going to say there is, what's the healthy way to make apple crisp for this holiday season?
Apple crisp. Oh, apples are a wonderful source of lots of nutrition, mm-hmm. and affordable, and they're delicious, and there are more varieties than I've ever seen. Now, it's not just eat an apple, it's what kind of an apple. So,
and some of them are terrible. Have you ever tried some of these apples that are...
Yeah.
My husband says they're mealy.
Yeah, well, even when they're bad, they're still pretty good. But yeah, I mean, we all have our favorites. I like Macintosh. I love Macoons. They have a short growing season, but I also like Fuji. But to answer your question about the crisp, which what I tell people that are trying to lose weight or trying to be healthier and don't want to have the, you know, because the problem with the crisp is what makes it crispy on top, right?
Right.
You know, like you're taking something healthy and you're making it a treat. But that's okay because we all like to have a treat once in a while. And
yes.
I don't believe in being a fun sponge. That's not good. Nobody will ever come back to me if I take away all their fun.
Yes.
But if you take that apple, cut it in quarters, put it in the microwave with a little bit of cinnamon on top, bake it for 60 seconds, you're going to get an apple that has the consistency of an apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
So tender. It's no more calories because the cinnamon doesn't add any calories.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. And you could top that with anything that you want. You could chop, if you like the crunch from the apple cobbler or the crunch, you can chop up almonds. You can mm-hmm. put some granola on top of it. And it satisfies sort of that sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not close to what an apple crumble a la mode would be. You know,
right.
That's... Right. The problem with some of those desserts is that they really can get up there. But we think, oh, there's apples in there, so they must be healthy.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, here's some topic that I think a lot of moms are interested in now. A lot of times you're at a school where you have to pack their lunch, right?
Right. Yes.
What can you pack that's healthy, not boring? Not a sandwich every single day. You know, you packed lunches for how many years? Your kids are now out of the house. So.
More than I can remember. But Ivy just asked me recently. She said she's 22. She's or 23 now. Mom, what's it like not having us home? And I said, well, it's quieter and less laundry. But, you know, we're always in touch. It doesn't feel like you're very far away. And she said, you packed breakfasts and you made breakfasts, lunches, and dinners for, and she told me the number of years, a lot of years. And I said, yes. And that was my job. Mm-hmm. You know, that became my job. And I'm glad I was grateful for that time. But, and she said, and then you watched me walk to the bus stop every morning, and she would disappear. After I didn't see her head above the hedges anymore, then I would close the door. And sometimes it was freezing out there, but I did it every morning. And she remembered that. And I think it just goes along with how you... That was sort of one of the ways I loved my children mm-hmm. was through, you know, and I know my mom too. My mom was, we came home from school and there was always, I think I've told you this, a pot of something on the stove, minestrone or depending on what the season was. But I'd come home and I'd look for what that pot was. And I had a friend come over one day and she said, your mother made this soup. Her mother didn't cook.
Mm.
So I expected or anticipated that. I didn't expect it, but that's how she loved us. And that was sort of what I liked about my childhood. And I wrapped that into my kids, although I spend a lot less time in the kitchen than my mother ever did. I like the quick and easy things that are delicious, nutritious, and where they intersect.
Because mm-hmm.
you can have, there's a lot of things that are delicious, a lot of things that are nutritious, but they really have to, where they overlap is where we live. And I think my kids hit that note. They enjoy food that, you know, that you eat and you think, I can't believe this is good for me because it tastes mm-hmm. so good. But the question was about packing lunches.
Packing lunch when you don't have, when they can't heat it up.
You just have to get creative and you have to think about, okay, these are little bodies, but their nutrition needs are very high. You know, kids in elementary school, toddlers in preschool, even kids off to college, they're still, mm-hmm. brains are developing, even though they may have met their height potential and weight potential, their nutrient needs are very high. And so you want to, first of all, know your child and know what they will enjoy eating, right? Because you don't want the lunchbox to come home with the things still in there that you thought would be so healthy that mm-hmm. they didn't enjoy eating. So,
and one of the teachers said that. They said, I wish parents would just pack what they want to eat. But they, you know, because they pack what they think they're going to eat. Like if I packed a salad, it's going to come back.
Salads don't pack well, but I did get a laptop lunch makes these bento boxes. I don't know. You can still get them because you can get them online, and they don't have lead paint in them, which is good because that's what gives the bright colors. And since they're contacting the food, I was always a little bit of cautious of those. So it's a little bento box plastic. It has little compartments and little sealable containers. Some of them are open, some of them are closed. It's modular, so you can take all the pieces out, and you could put a sandwich in there and a drink if you wanted. But my kids like these little surprises, you know, especially when they were young. And toothpicks are magic. So you'd put on a toothpick, you could skewer like a little piece of mozzarella and a cherry tomato. And you could do another little side compartment with grapes and you name it, grapes and strawberries in one. Since it has a little enclosed compartment, you could put yogurt in there for dipping. There's even a chill pack in the laptop lunch. It's very lightweight. Wow. It fits in the backpack. It's flush. I had two.
I wonder now you order online, laptop lunch?
Yeah, and they also give you some serving suggestions, some really good ideas to put in there. If your kid's not a sandwich kid, sometimes wraps work better. So I would make, I remember one year kids go through phases where every day they want the same thing and then they never want to look at it again. So the key is don't overdo it. Leave the party when you're still having fun. So,
I like that. Don't overdo it. That's a tweetable line.
It.
Leave
don't
the party while you're still having fun.
Because kids get – it's food fatigue, and we all get it too, right? You get into something and you eat it every day. Although I have a long fuse for food fatigue. If I like something, I could eat it every day. My husband cannot do that. I'm one of those people that I, you know, if I like.
You do that. Me, I do that. Mary Beth does that, our friend Mary Beth.
Yes.
If something opens and she likes it, she's there every day, every day, every day.
I'm in or I'm out.
Yes.
And if I'm in, I'm really in. So.
You were in with Corbos, right, Bob? You were a Corbos guy.
Yeah, but that's not a particular kind of food. There's all kinds of foods that they
offer. Right, you have choices there.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to
I did peanut butter and jelly for a whole year when I was in elementary school.
Peanut butter and jelly.
And I can't send that. I can't
well,
send that
that's
anymore.
Another thing.
But I don't touch it anymore.
Yeah.
So I overdid
no,
it.
No, I know. Well, you overdid maybe overdid it, but I still think it's a pretty good snack to have, like one piece of bread with peanut butter and jelly because it fills you up. Mm-hmm. It tastes delicious. Depending on the peanut butter, I mean, I wouldn't get something that was overly processed. But if peanuts are the first ingredient, you know, you really can't go wrong with that if you're not allergic to it.
Yeah, and you can't send peanut butters.
No, you can't.
Because everybody's a nut-free school.
So you could do little wraps and cut them up because kids have, their appetites are different than ours are. You know, they're more in tune with their appetite. They won't eat if they're not hungry, usually, children. You know, we teach that out of them. But I would like to do little wraps with, my kids liked cream cheese and strawberries. That was one thing. We had a good run on that. Really good. Because by the time they get to eat it, the strawberries start to really get sweeter when they're sitting out and with the cream cheese.
But it was strawberries, like whole strawberries with cream cheese?
No, I would slice them up. And especially the ones that look like hearts because I have girls. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you can see how much I love you because I found heart-shaped strawberries. And, you know, all the things we do to keep our kids entertained. It's almost ridiculous. With cream cheese, roll that up. Cut them up in little pieces. You could do hummus and vegetables left over from the night before. Make your life easier. I mean, if you're making these lunch boxes at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, you're not going to start steaming vegetables. But if you have
5:30.
If you're making vegetables for dinner, make extra. If you're making chicken, make extra and turn it into a chicken salad with grapes. And you can't do walnuts in your school, but, you know, grapes and cucumbers and put that in with little crackers in the bento box. Mm-hmm. Kids that don't like sandwiches, you can certainly do egg salad with crackers. You could do feta cheese and tomatoes. And my kids always liked those little Mediterranean kind of things. Cucumbers and hummus. You could do olives. You know, and if you make it into a happy face, you're going to – that score is big.
Wow.
Their kids will – their friends will be jealous. And then the other lunchbox trick I have is if you're having a hard time getting your kids to eat the plants that we want them to is you want your kid to eat something, put it in their best friend's lunchbox. So you make a deal with your – kid's best friend's mother or father and say, I'll tell you what, it works. Sweet potatoes heated up the next day are delicious.
But they won't heat them up. That's the problem.
Yeah, but by the time they get to them, they can be room temperature. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think kids are really that fussy. Some kids are.
She loves sweet potatoes.
Yeah, I think they'd be happy to have a sweet potato mm-hmm. over the old. If you think about the alternative, I mean, you can't let perfection be the enemy of the good. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you know they're getting something that's nutritious. I personally do follow the same thing, and I have long days in New Haven sometimes where I get 15 minutes to eat lunch. I'm so busy sometimes. So I'll bring a leftover from dinner the night before, mm-hmm. and I'll bring lots of little things that I can pick up and eat between seeing patients. You know, it may not be enough for a whole meal, but taken together, if you look at it all, mm-hmm. it is enough food, but I'll eat it in little bites. So I'll have an avocado tomato sandwich. I love avocado tomato. Sometimes I'll put a hard-boiled egg in there.
That sounds good.
It's delicious.
You might like a hard-boiled egg, too.
A hard-boiled egg is – I was at church on Sunday at Trinity, and they had a really nice – that's not our normal parish, but we mm-hmm. did go because my friend Karen Newman was visiting.
Oh, how's she doing?
And Peter, she's doing well. Hi, Karen, if you're listening.
Hi, Karen.
in any case, so they had
– Karen has a book. Let's promote Karen. Karen has a book out now, right?
Yes, Just Three Words.
Just Three Words.
By Karen Newman. The real Karen Newman is her Twitter
handle.
And
she survived cancer twice.
Yes. Yes. She's a survivor.
Yes.
You know, what makes her an elite athlete has also served her well as a cancer patient. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I'm violating anything because she's very outward and very open about her disease. But so anyway, we went to Trinity and, you know, typical church fare afterwards is bagels and muffins and bananas. We've all seen mm-hmm. and done that before, right? And the kids like them. Everybody likes them. But Trinity had those things, but they also had hard-boiled eggs cut in half. So you could pick one up. Eat it. You're getting some protein. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a great snack. That's another thing. The only thing is they kind of smell when you're peeling them. So kids might be a little self-conscious about that. But when you're hungry, salsa, wouldn't that be a good thing? Tomato salsa that you mm-hmm. can buy. That's you're getting some fiber. You're getting some vitamin C.
She loves ketchup, so salsa would be a big hit.
I would transition from the ketchup to, I don't know if you know, but most ketchup has more sugar than ice cream.
Wow, and that's why she loves it.
Proportionately, and it doesn't even taste sweet. I mean, you know when you're eating ice cream, you're eating something sweet. But if you have ketchup on a hamburger, 2 tablespoons of ketchup has 2 teaspoons of sugar.
So it had been great having you chat about healthy living on the Healthy Hillary Show on 1490 WGCH. Francine Blinton, Sound Nutrition.